You know, we live in a society where it seems like we are constantly bombarded with toxic messaging and even negative content that really doesn't align with many family values. In fact, I'd go as far to say that it's not even positive. It tends to be negative. Well, the newest podcast from the Must Increase Network, Connection Culture, helps you and your family navigate this media-driven culture that we live in and helps you discover how you can actually use the power of connection to make more meaningful relationships and increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of others. And we wanted to showcase this podcast to you this month. So this month, Church Media HQ is on hiatus as we prepare new content for August and beyond. So we're bringing you replays this month, and we're going to be bringing you one replay episode from Connection Culture each week. So if you like what you hear, go subscribe to Connection Culture wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find it on YouTube and Facebook. And let's get right to this replay episode of Connection Culture. Welcome to Connection Culture. I am your host, Luke Clayton. And before we get started, I do want to remind you, if you haven't subscribed yet, take a moment to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or to our YouTube channel. If you are watching on YouTube or Facebook, just take a moment to like this video so that it can get seen by others like you. Today's guest is my friend, Jeremy Lenentine. Jeremy serves as an outreach and connections pastor at his church in the Albuquerque, New Mexico area. And today we take a moment to review a streaming series that's been out for a couple of years now called The Chosen. It is a TV series available to watch completely free about the life of Jesus. It's so well produced, so well made, a powerful story. And they just recently launched the second season of The Chosen. And so the best way to watch it is by simply downloading their app. It's available in the App Store, I believe, on Google Play. Just simply search The Chosen, download the app, and start streaming the show completely free. Well, let's get right to my conversation with Jeremy as we review The Chosen. You're actually the one who introduced me to this, and it is a series called The Chosen. And this is a, for those of you who don't know, it is a television show or series that has been produced about the life of Jesus. And it's not that that's never been done before, but it is, I guess the way that they marketed it is the first multi-season series about the life of Christ. You remember there was a few years ago, the History Channel showed that it was called the Bible series. And that was pretty interesting, you know, and that kind of took an whole overview of the Bible and the different characters. And eventually, you know, it had several episodes dedicated to Jesus, and it was cool. I liked it because I liked seeing such a, you know, kind of national spotlight put on the Bible. I thought that was great. I mean, you could nitpick the show about accuracies and whatnot. But I did like that. I thought that was cool. But here's the thing about faith-based productions in general, and I'm just going to say it. A lot of them are kind of cheesy. And so that's kind of what you run into with, I know, right? Shocker. Is you see these, you know, usually around Easter every year, that's when all the faith-based movies are, you know, the new faith-based movies are hitting the theaters, and they're, you know, by and large, you know, I've seen some good ones, but I've seen some pretty bad ones. They kind of have this, a lot of them have this Hallmark movie feel, if you will. And so the thing about The Chosen, that the number one thing that stuck out to me just from production value is that it is incredibly well made. The acting is good. The, you know, obviously the cinematography, the sound quality, you know, everything you can think of from a production value standpoint, in my opinion, is really good. And I actually would go as far as to say this. It's definitely one of the best shows I've seen in a long time. And maybe I'm biased because I am a Christian and because I have personally made a few short films of a similar nature, you know, but kind of that involved Jesus and whatnot. But I think just from a production value in general, it's just so well made. So that's the first thing that I observe about the Chosen series.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, I turned it on to you and probably 2 months ago or whatever, 3 months ago. And I kept telling you, you got to watch this.
It's been a while. Yeah.
Yeah. And you were like, I'll get to it. You know, you're busy. I'm not busy or whatever. So, but eventually you got to it. And as soon as you did, man, you fell in love with it. So, do you want to tell people how they can watch it and everything? Because there's so, and then who this guy is who did it. Cause I think that's a pretty cool connection that you told me, about who this guy is. And you're probably already familiar with him kind of like right through his dad. So go ahead and tell them about how they can watch it as well.
Well, yeah. So if you haven't watched it yet, they actually have this really unique, you know, distribution kind of plan, if you will. So instead of putting it out on, which I think is actually perfect for, no one foresaw the pandemic, but it actually worked out perfectly with the pandemic. So they didn't try to put it, they didn't try to get like a network to carry it. So, you know, most of the conventional approach to television is you make a show, you make a pilot, you pitch it to an executive at, you know, NBC or AMC or wherever. And they, you know, they pick it up and they produce a series. And nowadays there's also the, streaming. So Netflix might pick it up or Hulu or whatever. And they took the approach. First of all, before how we talk about this distributed, I think it's really cool how they produced it and funded it. It is entirely crowdsourced, meaning that all the money that they raised was from individual, donors and people who contributed. It's actually funny. If you watch the credits at the end of any given episode are insanely long because they had so many people contribute to it. When you get to the end of a feature length movie, like how the credits are super long, it's like the end of every episode is like that, like so many names, which is great, you know, because there's so many people that got behind it. And so it's completely crowdsourced. And then the way they're distributing it is through their own app. So it's just a standalone app called The Chosen. You download it and then you can airplay it to an Apple TV or to a Chromecast or watch it right there on your device. I don't know if there's a way to natively watch it on a computer. I haven't really looked into that yet because what I did is I downloaded it on my iPad and then airplayed it on my Apple TV. So yeah, and it's completely free to watch. Now they are going to occasionally prompt you, say, hey, do you want to contribute to the next season? And honestly, if you think it's good, go for it. Think about this. Most shows that you're watching are going to be on Netflix or Disney, Hulu, you know, like I said, Disney Plus, Hulu, whatever. And you're paying a monthly subscription fee for that. So at the end of any given year, I mean, you've given, depending on what you're paying, I mean, hundreds of dollars, you know, to subscription services. With The Chosen, they're just saying, hey, watch it for free, give if you want to. So that's the way I see it is, you know, and I'm not trying to, you know, brag, but I gave a little bit at the end of when I watched, I was like, that was really good. You know, so I threw a few bucks at them because I thought that provided me some really good value in terms of like entertainment value. It's very helpful and it's worth throwing a few bucks at. So, but you don't have to do that. You can watch it completely free. They're occasionally going to prompt you to consider donating. If you like the idea of it, go ahead and check it out. Of course, I do want to dive into a few more elements of the episode or of the show itself that might convince you further. I don't know, Jeremy, what's I know we've texted about this a little bit. So what are some of your takeaways though from The Chosen as far as, you know, and impressions that it left on you?
All right. So first I want to just touch back on the crowd source fundraising part that they did, because there's articles all over the internet back from May 2019, from like the Hollywood Reporter, and not Christian organizations that they are setting fundraising goals all over the place. So season one, which I believe had 8 episodes, they had to raise just over $15 million to do that, and they did it all. Then they already funded all of season 2 right at the same. And then now, if you pull up their app, the Chosen app, go download it. That's where you watch it from. They're already 55% of the way funding on season 3, episode 1. So they're banking into season 3 now. That one episode, they need to raise $1.8 million. But they're doing it. They're just setting, blowing all of these goals away by just simply asking people like, hey, if you like this, you know, would you contribute this? And it's really cool because if you'll give, if you get $50, you get $100, it will tell you it equals that this many people could watch it as well. So they're really trying to take people like from America and Europe or whatever and fund it so that people all over the world, because they're rolling it to languages all the time, can watch it. So you really are paying for like the opportunity to witness. And so like Luke said, throw some money at it because it's really good. They tell a really, really good story. It's well done, high quality stuff. And Dallas tells great, compelling stories. And it's really crazy. And I'm really excited that they're doing something like that. Okay, so you said takeaways, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so man, spoiler alert. You have to do the spoiler alert thing.
Yeah. I'm debating. I'm like, do I want to spoil it for people or do I just want to dive in? So maybe let's do this. Anybody who has not seen it yet. Okay. And I'll say this. So just so you know, the story runs up through, don't get the idea that the show ends like because they're going to produce multiple seasons. So the show does not end with like Jesus being crucified and resurrecting, like you would maybe expect. They actually do not get, I think they get through like John 4. I mean, if you're going by the Gospels, they don't get super far in because they're trying to make it multiple seasons. So they're definitely on track to do that well. So what I'm saying is it's a great show. Go watch it. This is your warning, because from here on out, I don't know. Spoilers are probably going to flow. And the truth is, if you've read the Bible, it's already been spoiled. But how they do it is what's incredible. So that's your warning. Stop watching, listening now if you don't want any more spoilers, because from here on out, we're just gonna talk about it. So anyways, now back to you, Jeremy.
Okay, so season 1 is the only season that's out. So there's 8 episodes in season 1. They've yet to release season 2, although it's fully funded, and I've heard it's like mostly shot, right? So it's probably in post.
I heard things got slowed down because of COVID, which is pretty normal. That's cool. I didn't know that's mostly shot. So that's exciting.
Okay, so there's 2 characters it follows that are like, B-roll characters in the Bible, but they bring them into the forefront to tell their story, which is really cool. So it stood out to me. They took their time representing Nicodemus really well, right? Yeah. Like his background, the way he was raised, and like his, if you want to call it like his journey to faith, starting to question the Jewish traditions and Sanhedrin, and then like turn to Christ. There's this really great scene. And I won't spoil any of it, so no like super details. There's this really great scene where he meets and talks with John the Baptist, you remember that. And I think they kind of did John the Baptist a little disservice,
I'm hoping that what happens is in future seasons that they might, I'm hoping they flash back to John the Baptist a little more, because that's what I thought. I thought, oh, okay, so we pick up with John in prison, basically. That is when you first see him, and it's just real brief. I thought the guy who played him though was perfect. Like, it's like, yeah, this is exactly how you would picture John the Baptist. What I'm hoping, because I did, there are a couple times in the show where they kind of like flash back to stuff. I'm kind of hoping maybe we see that. Maybe we see some flashbacks to develop his character a little more, talk about, his ministry. I did think that too. I thought, man, I would have been, because he basically gets one scene, throughout the whole season. And I thought, man, I would have been cool.
In fairness, maybe I'm like underestimating how much like, wearing, that raiment and eating grasshoppers and always being out in the sun, like what that might do to a person as well. So I might be underestimating that. Maybe the producers are onto something that I wasn't thinking about. So if I was Nicodemus and his journey. And obviously, you know, his wife doesn't want to lose the stability of what they have, you know, by him, you know, coming out as a Christian. That's really, really great. They don't get too far into his story because he definitely doesn't convert by the end of season one, like what you said. They're definitely slow walk, you know, this whole process, which is great because a lot of times, like you said, you watch an Easter one and they take you from, you know, Jesus' earthly ministry and then boom, and he's, and then died, you know, and buried and rose again, all in 45 minutes. And it's, there's just so much to unpack, right? But then the second thing that they did, which I thought was incredible, was they chose to really follow the story of Matthew in a way that no one's ever done before. People, they do a good job with Peter, and everyone knows about Peter, you know, I feel like, and John. But following Matthew, even kind of like with his quirks and everything, right, that pushed him into finance, and his sort of his relationship between, he works for the Romans, you know, but he kind of has to exhort, you know, extort his own people. And so they don't like him, you know, obviously, which is all true. It's really some great backstory, though, between that. So those are my two favorite characters that they did a really, really great job with. Kind of what stood out to you, Luke, about the eight episodes you watched?
Yeah, so I'm watching it, and this is kind of the blessing and curse of being someone who, you know, certainly not to this level, but who has written and produced, you know, stories on film. And it, you know, so anytime I watch a show or a movie, I'm always got this analytical, you know, lens on to some extent, analyzing the, like I said, we already talked about the production value, the cinematography and all that, you know, how it's just well made from a visual perspective, but also from the story and how it breaks down. So something that a series, and I think this, and that this is one of the biggest reasons why people get really connected to TV series, even more so than movies. I mean, I love a good movie, but one of the biggest advantages you get from a television series is that you really have character development. You know, and so you already mentioned Matthew, Nicodemus, of course, Peter, Jesus himself. Another one, I'll tell you this, man, the ending of the first episode with Mary Magdalene is powerful. I mean, it is, I wasn't expecting it. Just again, you've had your spoiler alert. So basically the whole first episode's kind of following Mary Magdalene, and it, you know, she's possessed. I don't want to get into all the details, but basically you're getting introduced to all the characters, you know, everybody we've already talked about, you're seeing them, getting introduced to them, everybody but Jesus. And I'm thinking, where is he? You know, he's obviously the main character here. Where is he? And then, man, at the end, I mean, they gave him, I mean, he doesn't show up. I'll just tell you, he doesn't show up until like the last 5 minutes, but it is powerful. I mean, just really, really good. Like I said, getting back to the character development, and then I like how they take an entire episode to develop Jesus. Like they just dedicate one full episode to really just watching Jesus and how he interacts with children. And it's just really good. And here's what I like from a Jesus perspective. And if you want to, some people might at first, you know, when I first say this, they'll take it, some people might say heresy, but it's doctrine. They do a great job of humanizing Jesus. And what I mean by that is every time I've seen Jesus portrayed on screen, not every time, but every time I can remember, Jesus is this, he's very godlike, which is how he's supposed to be, but he's almost untouchable. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like he's just like, and he just comes across as this really just like unrelatable character. And the Jesus in The Chosen, he's just ordinary. I mean, which is what he was. Obviously, and they start diving into some of the God side of him as well, obviously showing him do miracles and things like that. But just showing how he is a normal guy in a really below average in terms of like his lifestyle, as far as, you know, his wealth and whatnot. I mean, really, you know, he's a nomad. He just kind of living in tents, and I don't know. I just thought that was amazing how they really said, hey, Jesus was a real relatable person. That was really powerful. So that goes along with the character development. I love to see even what they're doing with the Roman characters. I have a prediction, and you probably do too, Jeremy, that this key a Roman soldier that's kind of been Matthew's guy, he's going to be the centurion that says, surely this was the Son of God. I have a feeling that's who he is. Then the other guy, what's his name? I forget his name now, but the other kind of the bald one, something's going to happen. He's going to get replaced by Pilate somehow. So just to see that stuff, because like I said, we've said before, you and I and other church, people that are very much churched and familiar with the Gospels, we kind of know what's coming, but at the same time, you're trying to connect the dots. Like I said, the character development, I'm really loving that because you're really getting attached to these characters. When it will happen, I don't know how soon, but whenever they get to the point to where we do get to the passion and the crucifixion of Jesus, even though we know it's coming, it's going to be very, very sad. And it's going to be very impactful. So anyways, yeah, that's one of my biggest things. Character development is phenomenal. Storyline is great. I'll kind of let you take over from there. Thanks again for joining us for this episode of Connection Culture. Again, I hope you'll take a moment to like, to subscribe, to connect with us. We'd love to hear from you. Right now is the time to be giving us feedback and letting us know what you think, what you'd like to hear, and asking us maybe some questions or sharing your thoughts as we develop content for future episodes. Connection Culture is a production of the Must Increase Network. The show is produced and edited by Bo Snyder. Show notes are developed by Nash Mead. Executive producer and host is myself, Luke Clayton. And until next time, remember, get involved. What do we mean by that? Well, get behind what you believe in. Don't just mindlessly consume media and watch it. Because think about this. By consuming, you are contributing whether you realize it or not. When you just watch the news or sports or anything like that, they are making money off your viewership with commercials and ad dollars. If you're watching Netflix, well, you're paying a subscription. So you're contributing to some type of creation whether you realize it or not. So my challenge to you is to be intentional in that. I'm not saying to boycott, to get rid of all your subscriptions and to stop watching all your shows that are on channels that you don't necessarily agree with. That would be impossible. You would never be able to watch anything. What I am saying is find something that you do believe in. Maybe a smaller organization or creator. Get behind them. Help them. See what you can do. That's why we're so big into you liking and sharing the content that we put out, because that is a small way that you can contribute to the creation of positive content. Because in a society where all we seem to see is negative, toxic messaging and content, we're looking to create positive content and give you helpful insight so that you can find meaningful connection and so that we can use that power of connection to increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of others. Because remember this, when you do start to contribute and you're intentional about it and you get behind what you believe in, well, here's what happens. You're going to find so much more fulfillment in being that creative contributor than simply being a mindless, constant consumer. We'll see you next time right here on Connection Culture.